incredibly crafted wooden dollhouse, a two-story dollhouse where the bedrooms were on the second floor. We were raised in the first floor flat of a duplex. Three bedrooms, a living room, a dining room, and a kitchen. Six kids and a mom and dad. This dollhouse had bedrooms upstairs. We thought Santa made a mistake, and he meant to deliver this to a girl who lived closer to the lake.
Well, hopefully you recognize that voice, because he is our guest for the next hour. But welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. But I am so excited to have this gentleman on the show for the next hour. He is the longtime host of the PBS Wisconsin show Around the Corner with John McGivern. He currently hosts the new show Main Streets. He's a five-time Emmy Award winner, actor, comedian, state treasure, I would say.
There
Welcome
you
to
have
the
it.
Show, John McGivern.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm great.
Congratulations on this.
Thank you.
How exciting is this?
It's so fun. It's
you know what's really exciting about this? You have Jean Man Mayer.
I know. It was so funny because we were talking yesterday and prepping for today's show.
Yeah.
And they said, well, do you know John? She goes, oh, yeah. We go way back. And
right.
So I wanted to kind of surprise you, but apparently it wasn't a surprise, and you already knew that she was
part of
the show.
I read about it when this all happened. I'm very excited for you because she's great.
John, I met you when you taught a stand-up class, right? Isn't that how we met?
A storytelling class.
I think
I met you before that, too, Jane. I think I met when you were on The Mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Way back when.
Way back. Yep.
Oh, she's a... Talk about a treasure.
Talk about a legend.
Yes.
In my own mind, at least.
No, in mine as well, Jane, just so you know.
No, I think most people, the amount of people who come in are like, well, of course I know Jane.
Right.
Just the imprint you have left on southeastern Wisconsin and that legendary voice.
It's great. This seems like a great team.
It is a great team.
Yeah, congratulations.
We're having so much fun.
Yeah.
It is certainly, as you probably, no surprise to you, as someone who's been doing a show, a live a TV show for a
right.
long time. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. And you guys handle 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, don't you?
We do.
So when you said just an hour, I thought, well, I could come in for three.
You probably could come in for three. I would be like, that would be a very lively show. I'm just having you, the three of us, for 3 hours.
That's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time.
Yeah.
It is a lot of time. But we're, you know, it's very fun. I think what I have enjoyed so much about doing this, that it's so different from doing the short videos that I was doing, and I'm still trying to do, but doing both is a lot,
right.
is things like this. Mm-hmm. Because it's harder to invite someone onto a 60-second TikTok that you want to have a conversation with
right.
versus being able to invite someone like you on to talk for an hour. And because so many people love you, so many people get to have an opportunity to hear a conversation versus just see you perform or tune into your show. And so
right.
what's been really fun about having the radio show and having a platform is to be able to invite people on to just have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so I'm so excited to have you here.
So we both work in conversation. That's what
yeah.
we do. So my job on TV is to converse
yes.
and to allow people to tell their stories, because that's really what we are, storytellers. But the fact that you do it live is frightening to
really?
Me.
You're live. Performer?
No, I'm a live performer, but a live performer is different than a live radio. Here we go for 3 hours. You know, when I step on stage to do a live show, I have it pretty well planned as to what's going to happen. You'd open your dial and it's like, now what?
Well,
you know?
To be fair, and to pull back the curtain a little bit, I do have like, I have an outline every day that I
I'm
work
sure
on.
You do.
So I don't totally just freewheel it. But so one of the things that I think, I joked about this as I promoted today's show. So when I was first planning to come back to Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
and it was when it was first a documentary, but it was As Goes Wisconsin, I was trying to figure it out. My mom was like, I think you should get a hold of John McGivern. And she told me all about Around the Corner with John McGivern and how much she loves that show and how she watches it every weekend
yeah.
and how she feels like, I feel like you could be like a younger version of him. And I sent you an email. This was early 2020.
Yeah.
You never emailed me back.
I didn't.
No.
Didn't I? Okay, well, there you go.
Fast forward to a year later, we had coffee a year ago.
Yes.
Because you'd transitioned from Around the Corner to now what's Main Streets. And what I didn't realize is how similar our journey has been as far as being from Wisconsin, going to LA, and coming back.
Career-wise,
So for people who don't know, and just know as far as what you've been able to do since coming back to Wisconsin, what was that journey of going out west and then coming back?
You know, the catalyst for my leaving the Midwest was that in 1993, I wrote a show called Midwest Side Story. And it was my own stories of growing up in Milwaukee and the East Side, believing that all of my stuff is really specific and really, you know, I did not realize that people would say, "Oh, my Lord, your story is my story. The streets are different. The names are different. But what happened in the heart, what happened in situation-wise is the same thing that happened to me." So I wrote this show, opened it at a theater in Chicago, and the second weekend after I opened, Comedy Central was in the house. And Comedy Central saw me do an hour and a half show of my stories and got a hold of me and said, we are producing an all gay special on Comedy Central, which would be the only second gay special ever to be on the air anywhere. And we want you to close the show with a 9-minute story. So Out There Too was shot in New York during coming out month, October of 1994, I believe.
Wow. Okay.
And from that, I got calls from all over, really, around what, you know, and I got an agent out of Los Angeles and they said, "You really need to come out here," which I look back and I realized that, you know, it was the early 90s. So it was a different world than it is today, when everything could really be done. What I moved to Los Angeles and they sent me out on the road is what they did. You know, I did an all gay comedy special and they sent me out to do comedy clubs in like Idaho. It's
like, how'd that go?
I can remember they had openers for me who were talking about hunting and, you know, and I was like, and I'm sitting in the back going, "Oh my God, I gotta get together my best hunting material. I do. What do I love about hunting? I love the outfits. I'll talk about them." No, I'm telling you, I was freaking out. And when they introduced me as the guy from the all-gay comedy special, and I'm standing in the back ready to walk on stage, and you hear people going, "Did they say gay?" "Oh, my Lord, is this going to work?" You know, but can I tell you that universal sort of, like, my stories are about my mom, about my brothers and sisters, about growing up Irish Catholic. You know, it's so when you cut away all the other stuff and you just really talk about a human experience, which is really what I've come to know, that's what I do. Mm-hmm. It made no difference, you know, and Idaho was great. And that tour that I did around after that Comedy Central special. Then after that, HBO hired me to do another all-gay special. There were 7 of us who went out there, and that was an HBO special. So it was funny that I was known for my stand-up, which I'm really not a stand-up. Like, if you've ever seen my, like, I'm just not a stand-up comic. I'm a storyteller who sits on a stool and tells a story that at the end that there's a payoff. But, you know, as a stand-up, it's got to be quick. And
yeah,
so, and
that's, it's like every 15 seconds, there's a joke. Or,
it's not
like
me.
Set up punchline, yeah.
It's not me. But L.A. really proved to me what was most important, and that was getting back to some place that felt like home. Because Los Angeles didn't. I lived there for 8-9 years and
so
worked.
That's a substantial amount of time.
It was. And I really worked hard and I worked a lot. And you know, I did some commercial stuff that paid a lot of money. And I mean, that kind of stuff was fun. But to get home and really kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And what happened, which was really exciting for me, that I always had a fallback, which was a show called Sheer Madness, which is a show that I first did in 1984 in Chicago. And it was a show that ran in places all over the country and ran for a very long time. So when they opened a new show, they would call me to play this character whose name was Tony Whitcomb, who was a gay hairdresser, over-the-top gay hairdresser who owned the salon where the play took place. And so no matter if I was ever out of work, I could always call them and say, "What do you have?" So I did the show at the Kennedy Center in D.C., in Chicago, in St. Paul, in San Francisco, in Portland, I mean, I did it I would just say, I've got 2 months. Where can you put me? And they'd slot me in, which was the best. Then they gave me the rights to the show.
Oh, wow.
And I came home with the rights to Sheer Madness in my back pocket. And I collaborated with the Milwaukee Rep and the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. We were the three producers. And we put it up in Vogel Hall at the Marcus Center to a what we believed would be a six-week run. It ran for 3.5 months and brought in $1.9 million. And the Marcus Center and the Milwaukee Rep said, is there anything else you're thinking of doing?
Like, what other things can we collaborate on?
Exactly.
This one went really, really well.
And we did. We went on for years and collaborated on projects. And it was the first time the Milwaukee Rep and the Marcus Center came together, because the Milwaukee Rep wasn't going to produce this in their season. And the Marcus Center didn't really produce shows. They presented them. So the Milwaukee Rep produced, Marcus Center presented, and I was the glue with all of it.
So how many years did that run then?
We ran that 4 times over the course of 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We also did The Odd Couple, which was a co-production. We also did,
who was your co-star in that?
Chris Tarian, who was my co-star in Sheer Madness.
Okay.
So there was a campaign out with that to get the word out. It was John McGivern and that other guy. Chris was that other guy. We did Fully Committed as a co-production, that one-man show about somebody sitting in the basement of a restaurant taking reservations. What else did we? So we collaborated for years.
And so our guest right now is John McGivern, as he just said, who is an actor, comedian, TV host, storyteller, and he's here all hour. But so, because a big thing for me, I would say, mine was 17 years of leaving at 16, wow. L.A., Berkeley, San Francisco, New York, back to L.A., did a lot of different things beyond just performing. But for me, coming back to Wisconsin has been hands down the best decision of my life because, I mean, personally, I'm now married, but also career-wise, just how much has kind of fallen into place. It has provided an atmosphere where I can combine all the different experiences and talent that I've collected. And I would have, if you told me 3 years ago, I would have been like, why would I move back to Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Like this pressure or this feeling that you have to be in one of the big cities to do this thing that we call performing or, you know, but there's so much oxygen here to be able to come and create something interesting and valuable. And so like, it sounds like that was almost immediately you were finding success in LA, but there was something that really opened up for you being able to come back to Wisconsin.
And when I came back with the rights of that show in my pocket, I wasn't sure if I would stay here. I knew that that would probably be successful, and it was beyond successful. And with people asking what I wanted to do next, and then I got a job with TMJ4 as somebody on Friday mornings. They put me out on the street talking about what's best about living in this community. So live shots on television on Friday mornings, and then they gave me Wednesday mornings as well. So it was Wednesday and Friday. Then they brought me into studio, so I started doing TV stuff regularly. And then PBS got a hold of me and said, we want to shoot your one-man show on stage. And I said, that would be great. And then we had our production meeting. They said, no, we think it'd be best if we shot it on location where the stories took place. Mm-hmm. So it just so happened that they assigned a producer, Lois Maurer, who has now been my producer. We've worked together for 15 years. Yeah. This woman who is like my, you know.
I've seen how you two are together. Yeah,
she's the best. She's the best. As my mother, you know, may she rest in peace, my mother. But she, when I first started working with Lois Maurer, my mom said, you need to hitch your wagon to her. Lois was like, what? But she was assigned that project called The Early Stories of John McGivern. And because of that, you know, we've worked together forever.
And so when we come back, we'll talk more about how that turned into Around the Corner and then how that's turned into Main Streets. I'm so excited that you're here. John McGivern is our guest until 12:30. Stay with us. We have so many more stories to tell. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Soon you gonna take their place. wagon on their front door. Wanna see you packing on the double. You ain't going away no more. Laugh and be happy. Don't you ever wear a fright. Get right back on your feet.
The Hogans, they have flocked tree. Why is their tree baby blue? Shh, John, don't ask those questions. But why? I just want. Shh, John, no, that's just. No, but why is the Hogan's tree blue? And my mom said, because they're from West Dallas.
Stallus. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have a topic, if you have a guest that we should bring on, let us know. But our guest right now, as you just heard, is the one and only six-time Emmy Award winner, John McGivern, who just won your sixth Emmy on Saturday. That's so exciting.
For hosting a magazine show, it was very exciting. I didn't go to the site. It was in Chicago.
Okay.
It's the Midwest Emmys, and I didn't go. But I watched. I watched the live stream, and the announcement was great. I'm very excited and proud.
You should be.
Yeah.
So we were talking before about kind of all the different things that you've done between TV and storytelling, live storytelling, and then it turned into Around the Corner with John McGivern, which has now turned into Main Street. And so tell me a little bit more about how the original show started and how that translated into now Main Street, which is more Midwest than just Wisconsin, right?
Right. So Milwaukee PBS shot my stage show, as I sat on location, turned it into a special that aired in markets outside of Milwaukee as well, called The Early Stories of John McGivern. Then it used to be that you could pitch a committee around a series on Milwaukee PBS, and Lois, who had produced that, we had such a great time doing that project that she said we should find something that we could work together all the time. And we came up with this concept called Around the Corner with John McGivern, and we pitched it to the committee, and they said no, that it's missing something. And what they thought was missing was history. So okay. Lois said, do you want to do the history research? And I was like, not really. Are you interested? She said, not really. I said, wait, I know John Goethe. Let's call John Goethe and see if John Goethe would do this segment on our show.
John Goethe is going to be here Thursday.
Oh, that's so good. How great is that?
That's so great. Like, yeah. He's an amazing person to tap. So anyone who's not familiar with John Goethe, he is the Milwaukee historian. He's made an entire career out of the history of Milwaukee, and he just announced that his column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is ending.
Yeah.
And so, just for a little context, so he was then helping with the show.
He was, if you watched it, so we did 9 years, 117 episodes, and he was the guy who rode up on the bike and gave us 3 minutes of the history of wherever we were that week. And then for four of the years, I believe he had an hour-long special that we shot with him as well.
Okay.
So there was the John, around the corner with John Goethe, that was an hour-long special that we had. So he was with us for 9 years.
Wow.
When the show was no longer renewed, which was after our ninth season, to say goodbye to John Goethe was hard and sad, because it was a weekly, once a week, every through the course of our summer, 13 episodes for 9 seasons we were together, and it's just such a really good, smart, informed, very regular, and he puts things in a language that we all can take, and he's great. So I miss him, but once he signed on, the committee approved the show.
Okay.
And they approved one season, 13 episodes, and we Lois produced it. We kept it very local. We kept it very Milwaukee centric that first year until PBS Wisconsin, which there's two PBS networks in Wisconsin. PBS Wisconsin, which is out of Madison, which covers all of the state except southeast Wisconsin. So Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee is covered by Milwaukee PBS. The rest of the state is PBS Wisconsin. They picked us up the first year and ran it the same time we ran it in Milwaukee. So 7 o'clock Thursday nights, which is local night on PBS, PBS Wisconsin played us. So season two, we went a little further so that their air was covered as well. And we did that for nine seasons. And over the course of that 9 seasons, we became the highest rated show Milwaukee PBS had ever produced. And then it became the highest rated PBS show on Thursday nights on any station in the country for years running, which was so great. Then PBS World picked it up. So over the course of the last 4 years of that run, PBS World, which runs all over the country, ran Around the Corner with John McGivern.
Yeah. So this might be a hard question to answer because it's always uncomfortable to toot your own horn. At least I find it uncomfortable. What do you think the magic of that show was, of why it was so popular, and what about it appealed to so many people that it had such a successful run?
I think it was accessible. I think where we went was accessible, who we talked to was accessible. If people wanted to take a 45-minute drive to Sheboygan Falls and go to the Firehouse Pizza, or walk down Main Street and go to the Beavis toilet seat company. I mean, it was all of that where it felt like, oh my, we can go do that. And then they would show up and talk to the person that I had a chance to talk to, you know. So I think it was accessibility and really kind of feeling, I think the show felt really familiar with everybody. And I think it's the case with the new show as well. And Lois, unlike you, I don't mind tooting my own horn.
Fair enough.
Maybe we're different like that. Lois believes that, and you know, I don't have a fear to chat.
Yeah.
And to ask, and to, you know, I'm curious, and to sit down and chat with somebody, you know, as somebody who does what you do, that people like to talk about themselves.
That's true.
They do. So let me ask you about your business. Let me ask you about your home. Let me ask you about the town that you call home, and you know, you've got a show.
And it's so interesting because as the interviewer, there are obviously someone else is asking the questions, but knowing how to mold the conversation, how to have a quick one-liner to come back with, how to then look to camera and say something else witty. And so that is such a skill set that I'm so fascinated. We have to take another break, but I'm so interested to know if that was just something that is innately in you, or if it's something that you felt like you had to learn and get feedback on, because it's like anything, that you make it look so easy for something that is a lot harder to do once you actually try, as I now know.
There you go.
So we're going to take another break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Strike me as funny. I can't hide it inside and squeak as the squeakless too. I got to let go with a hoe. How nice! I was hoping you'd take off. We all would have such a jolly time. We love to laugh loud and long and clear. We love to laugh. So everybody can hear. The more you laugh.
Whoops, don't you two start? Come back down here.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Thank you for joining us today during the lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And our guest, the previous half hour and for the rest of this half hour, is the 6-time Emmy Award winner, actor, comedian, storyteller, state treasurer, John McGivern, old friend of Jane's.
Well, old is relative.
You know, John, I think we met during Sheer Madness. I think I did one of the guest spots.
Oh, you did?
At Sheer Madness, and that's how we met.
Can we revive that show? Is there a part for me? Could I be in the show? If we ever brought it back? Or you're looking at me like you don't want to.
No. It's a lot. The thought of bringing Sheer Madness back is like, oh, my Lord, I'm not sure I want to work that hard. But there's certainly a role that you would be Barbara DeMarco, who is the hairstylist.
I would love that. That is my bucket list. Not that I have the time to do it now, but as far as being back in Wisconsin, like I definitely want to be in a play again at some point. So I have to get in there at the Milwaukee Rep and figure out the right show and if they'd have me.
Sure.
But getting to be on stage again.
We brought Jane in to give the announcement, the radio announcement for the murder of the woman upstairs. And she came and did a live report from the salon.
It's very exciting.
Is there any like vintage footage of this?
Oh, I bet you could find it. There's some stuff on YouTube.
Okay.
There is. Yeah.
All right. Well, so going back to what we were talking about before, which was the wild success of Around the Corner with John McGivern.
Yeah.
And so now you're doing Main Streets,
right,
which is similar concept, except it's not just Wisconsin. It's across the Midwest, right?
So the pandemic happened and they did not renew Around the Corner. And so Lois and I were sitting in my kitchen one pandemic morning and said, are we done? Because we knew that we were done at least at Milwaukee PBS.
Yeah.
And are we done doing this? And I was getting some inquiries from local television stuff saying, you know, would you be interested in doing morning television? Would you be interested in being on a... And I said to Lois, well, this is, you know, do I want to go 5 days a week at 9 o'clock in the morning and do something on a local? And she said, do you? I'm not so sure. She said, I don't think you do. I said, I don't think I do either. She says, we need to find a way to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
So we got a hold of Plum Media, who's been around for 25 years. And we talked to a guy who started at Rich Schmagus's name. He started this company.
Okay.
And we said, we've got the show that we did. And she got his number from a friend of hers, texted this guy and said, my name is Lois Marr. I'm sitting in John McGivern's kitchen, and we have this idea for a new TV show. Could we talk to you? He called us in 30 seconds, and
we talked for
an hour and a half from my kitchen. We talked to this guy, and 6 months later, Lois Marr left Milwaukee PBS and headed up John McGivern's Main Streets at Plum Media. Yeah. So it wasn't 2 years out, a year and a half out, and we had a show on the air again. And this was a concept that we thought we would go 300 miles from my front door. I live in downtown Milwaukee, which meant that we went to Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And we would do two episodes in each of those states, three in our home state of Wisconsin. And, Dan Carey from Plum built the network. We played on commercial television our first season. We played in 28 markets Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. Here in Milwaukee, we played on Fox 6 Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And now this next season two is going back to PBS.
There you go.
And PBS Wisconsin out of Madison is our distributor.
Okay.
And they're distributing John McGivern's Main Streets to all of those PBS markets in the six states that we cover. So, and we start airing on January 19th.
That's so exciting.
It's really exciting.
So what are the cities for this coming season that you hit?
In Wisconsin, we did the Menominee Valley in Milwaukee.
Okay.
That's one of our episodes. Dodgeville, which is down near Mineral Point on the way to Iowa. It's the... and De Pere, Wisconsin. So those are three.
Okay.
We did...
Have you been to any of those in... the previous show? Or are they all new for you?
We haven't covered anything that we covered in Around the Corner yet.
Wow, nice.
So, Iowa, we did the Amana Colonies. Have you ever heard of the Amana Colonies?
Oh, I don't know much about Iowa, if I'm being honest.
Nor do I. And we did Iowa City, which University of Iowa in Iowa City, which is kind of in a remarkable, kind of brilliant little town, all about writers and readers and people who are literary figures. You know, they have the Writers' Workshop in Iowa City, and I'm telling you, it's kind of a remarkably beautiful little progressive town, which I love.
Yeah.
In Indiana, we did Goshen, Indiana. Have you ever heard of Goshen? It's you know what it's known for?
No.
It's known because it's the world headquarters for building RVs. Like they build RVs.
Like the campers?
The campers.
Oh my gosh.
Goshen, Indiana.
Goshen.
Yeah. And we took a tour of building a beautiful RV. But what a great little main street. It's kind of quintessential small town, town square, beautiful courthouse. I mean, just Goshen, Indiana. And we also did, what was our second one? Oh, Fort Wayne, Indiana, which I had no idea that Fort Wayne, Indiana was the second largest city in the state. Excuse me.
I would, it's bigger than, so the number one's Indianapolis.
Of course.
And then you know of Bloomington because of IU, but Fort Wayne is bigger.
Huh. Second.
All right.
And a huge Catholic population with a Catholic museum, which kind of, you know, I'm this Irish Catholic boy who I was like, oh my Lord, look at the vestments. This is heaven. Michigan. Where did we go in Michigan? We went to first time up to the UP. We did Escanaba.
Okay.
And we did Holland.
With the tulips?
With the tulips. Oh. We didn't do tulip time because they said, don't come here during tulip time. It's too crazy.
Okay.
So we went to Holland towards the end of our shooting schedule.
I think I went there as a child. I feel like, because I'm part Dutch.
Oh, you are?
And I feel like there was pictures of me in wooden shoes around tulips in Holland, Michigan.
There better be. The wooden shoes are all over.
I mean, they're not very comfortable. No. Those wooden shoes. No. I don't know why that was such a popular thing for so long. Because that'll get you some tough feet.
They're still wearing them though, aren't they? People like it's like I'm not. I really don't understand any of it.
It's like we have new technology. You don't have to keep wearing these.
Right.
So how do you guys pick? How do you do the research to pick where you're going to go?
There's a team at Plum. We have four content producers that we divvy up the 13 communities, and we sit around preseason before we start shooting, and we all kind of throw in a hat where we want to go, what we want to do, where we think would be a great community. Then the content producers get involved and say, these are the ones I want. And it's kind of collaborative. There's a group of 12 people who really kind of work full time on this show.
Yeah.
And it's really collaborative around, you know, who does what and how they do it. And then the team goes out and does all the research before, you know, and by the time I show up, which is in the back of a van with my
down
name
by the river
all over. Exactly. For our first day of shooting, the time that's gone into that research and who we're going to cover, what we're going to do, and the schedule, 3.5 days of nonstop that's been completely scheduled. So, and I get all of the stand-up stuff that I do that needs to be memorized. I've got, you know, it's people have no clue. As you said, you know, let's pull the curtain back and see what it's like. It's a lot.
Well, it's, you know, and the point is to make it look easy, right? When we watch late night shows and the hosts and doing a live show every night where they're doing stand up and then they're doing interviews and they're introducing guests and like it's supposed to look easy. And that's what makes it entertaining. But it's not. And I feel like the memorization for you, the interviewing people, the travel can be exhausting. And so and then to have this final product and it be kind of invisible of how many people and how much work went into making it look so fun, so easy, so light.
All of the pre-production and then all of the production, and then it's, you know, 28 minutes of television.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, well, that's easy. It's like,
I could do that.
There you go.
Well, maybe. So you finish that show, and basically you've had a month of rest, and now you're gearing up to do your Christmas show again, which is a live show.
Which I open on Friday in Cedarburg at the Cedarburg Performing Arts Center. And I'm doing a show called Kodachrome Christmas, which is a show that's been written by a man named Pat Hazel. Pat Hazel also wrote a show that I did called Wonder Bread Years. And he also wrote Bunk Bed Brothers, which is a show that I've done locally. And he was one of the head writers for Seinfeld for years.
Okay, so he's funny. So he's funny.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wrote this show, and I flew to Pittsburgh to see when he premiered this show. And it was a woman playing a woman named Earlene Hoople, who is a cable access talk show hostess, taping her Christmas special in front of a live audience, her studio audience, hence the audience in the theater. So I flew to Pittsburgh. My partner Steve and I flew to Pittsburgh to see the premiere of the show. And I said to Pat, I said, you should make Earlene Earl, and then I'll do it. And he said, you know, the heart of the show is about what women do to make the holidays the best. And it wouldn't work with Earl. It'll work with Earlene. And I believe that you could play Earlene. And I'm like, you're crazy. I can't do it. And this was 2012 is the first time I put the wig on and the Spanx and the kitten heels.
And you became Earlene.
And I became Earlene. And now I look forward to it. I do.
Yeah.
I do. It's really, I've done it probably three seasons since 12. I haven't done it for 5 years, so I'm thrilled to do it again.
So it's seven shows, two different cities.
Cedarburg Performing Arts Center this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and four shows there, and then three shows at the Oconomowoc Arts Center.
Okay.
And that's two shows, a show on Saturday and a show on Sunday the following weekend. And then I'm done.
And then you're done for the holidays. Where can people find tickets if they want to go see you live?
You can go to johnmcgiver.com, and you can find all that information there. You can go to Cedarburg Performing Arts Center or the Oconomowoc Arts Center. And tickets are available. It's funny because they usually do a one-off or a two-off, but I have four shows, so they're still available in Cedarburg. And I'm doing three shows on Oconomowoc, and they're both sizable theaters. So there's still available seats.
All right. So we have you for one more segment. We're going to take one more break. But when we come back, I want to just get your thoughts on the differences, better, worse, pros, cons, because you've done so many different types of performing.
Yeah.
And what you like about live performing versus doing the show.
Oh, good.
Versus all the other things you've done.
Perfect.
So John McGivern will be here for one more segment. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are rounding out this hour with John McGivern. Around the hour with John McGivern. We could do this once a month. But we are talking about all of the things that he's done in his career of performing and doing television shows and live shows and storytelling and all the awards he's won. And so as someone, you know, I grew up doing theater. I then did some acting on TV sets and movie sets. And then I just did some stand-up and improv, and now somehow I found myself on the radio, and I like all of it.
Yeah.
But for you, if you had to pick one of doing either the TV show or live performing, which would you pick?
At this stage, I would pick the TV show, just because it works so much better with my, you know, I like to go to bed early. I like to get up really early. And when you're a performer, like, I'm a little freaked out by the fact that I have to, for the next 2 weeks, like, go do a show in the evening.
At night. I'd like to be watching Netflix at that hour.
You have no idea. So it's lifestyle-wise, TV works for me.
Okay.
You know, you work really hard, and then it's all during the day.
Yeah.
By 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, you're finished. So to get going. But, you know, I love the live. There's nothing better than live. And there's nothing better than theater storytelling and not stand-up-y sort of like club stuff. Like, I love going to a theater that has my name on the marquee and people are there because they want to hear me. And so I just did Manitowoc, the city yeah. center in Manitowoc had 500 people in an audience that were so, it was like magical. You know, I an hour and a half of the best. I left there thinking, why am I not doing this every night?
You know? Well, because it's also, I imagine, if you stick around and you actually get to talk to people after the show and what the show meant to them and kind of like, I think so much of what you've built with your career, whether it is the live shows or the TV shows, is just like the humanity of all of us and like the storytelling and like the so much of the feel good that most of us, when you strip away the politics and you strip away the rivalries as far as, you know, us versus Illinois or, right. you know, stuff like any that. It's like, it. There's so much similarities yeah. and there's so much we have in common that like the true themes come out as far as like loving your family, loving your friends, being part of your community. And I would imagine that when you get to do a live show versus kind of the lack of feedback that you sometimes have from either a radio broadcast or right. a TV show, you're like, did they like it?
Right.
I don't know if they liked it. But with a live show, you know, because they're clapping for you.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. And you know it immediately. They're like, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I love it all. I feel so lucky and I feel so, I'm really incredibly grateful for my career. And if tomorrow was the end, can I tell you? I've had a really, really wildly successful long run, and I'm thrilled.
Well, I guess that is a question because, as you both joked, I would never call you old, but you called yourself old.
I am old.
But you have so much energy.
Well.
And do you feel like, you know, there's people who get to do a career that they love, and there's some people who can't wait to retire because their career was always just something that paid the bills.
Yeah.
So do you feel like you're going to do this till you can't? Or do you see retirement on the horizon?
I'm, you know, as far as the TV goes,
I don't know, all of it, any of it.
But my producer is, I think she needs another 7 years, she says, before she can retire. So she's like,
so you've got to
give me 7 years. And I'm like, I don't think I can. I can commit to next year. This is what I always say to her.
Fair.
You know, so I'm just going to keep doing it. And can I tell you, I feel good. I feel well. I feel good. My doctor's like, you're in good shape. You're, you know, I'll keep doing it until I can't, I think.
Yeah.
I have three brothers who just continue working. And I have two sisters who are both retired. And they're like, the girls in this family like not to work. And they're like, our brothers, God, they just love to work. And we you know, we're hard workers. So I better continue.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel. Guaranteed, like my retirement's ways off. But as right. far as the blessing of finding work that you love to do, and that as long as they keep letting you do it.
I know.
Why would you not?
Because I'm waiting for somebody to be like, shut up. We are so done. Goodbye. And nobody has yet. So.
Nobody has yet. All right. So in the couple minutes that we have left, let's remind everyone all the ways that they can see you. So yeah. The show premieres in January.
January 19th. Check your PBS listings where it's going to be. The Christmas show is going to be this weekend in Cedarburg Performing Arts Center. And then the following weekend in Oconomowoc. The 14th of January, I'm doing an evening with John McGivern at the Oshkosh Opera House.
Ooh.
The Grand Opera House in Oshkosh, a space that I've performed in before. And I love this beautiful turn of the century opera house, and I love Oshkosh, so I'm going to be there. And then we start shooting season 3 of John McGivern's Main Streets again come May, and we've picked out our 13 communities for next season.
Wow. Which yeah. one are you looking forward to the most?
We're gonna be doing a Madison.
Oh
yeah,
my hometown.
So I'm thrilled to do Madison. Yeah.
And you have not done Madison before?
We did the Isthmus is what we did in okay. Madison. Here we're going to do, we're doing State Street as a main street is what we're saying. So that's we're going to do State Street is going to be our.
Well, that is a storied history as far as State Street and Madison and all the different changes it's gone through, even in the last couple of years. Every time I go to State Street, I feel like it's different than what it looked like when I grew up running around and stuff. Because I grew up doing theater at CTM, which was the Civic Center, now the Overture Center.
Sure.
And the fact that they just let us run around on State Street and like get lunch as like a 10-year-old is like,
so
where are the adults in this situation? So, all right, John McGivern, this has been, as expected, this hour flew by.
This was fast.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I can't wait to have you back. You're a busy man, but maybe before you start filming, maybe we'll have you back in the spring.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us today.
Congratulations, you guys. Jane, it's a pleasure seeing you, and what a great fit this is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, great.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do more headlines. This is As Goes Wisconsin.